Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Reveal Report. I'm your host, George Iceman. I thank you for joining us for this special report as we give you an update what's happening in the U.S. and in Canada. I'm about to be joined by my guest who's been on the show several times, very notorious and one of the most shadow banned patriots in all of Canada. You can't even hashtag his name. They will take you down that information you have. Anything that he has discussed in the past in regards to warnings, things are about to happen, he has been proven right time and time again. So it's a pleasure and an honor to have my fellow Canadian, Chris Skye, join the show. Chris, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Good. I want to get right into it. I texted you.
Start with Pat.
Let's get into it with Pat. Give a little quick, if you don't mind, who Pat is, number one, before we even get into it for those that don't know.
Pat King is a very well-known freedom fighter in Canada. He's been against the lockdowns from the start. He might have said some controversial things and put his foot in his mouth a couple of times, but that's not a big deal. He's still fighting for freedom. He's still representing Canada. And he was put in jail at the end of the Freedom Convoy on some ridiculous charges like obstruction, violating a court order for getting people to honk horns, allegedly, stupid things like that. And for that, he was in jail for something like 150 days. I don't know the exact amount, but that was that close. And when he had bail hearings, they basically railroaded him. They put him in really bad conditions in jail. They even took away his fake leg, so he was on one leg in jail. He's basically been a political prisoner in Canada, and he was finally released on bail today. He's got a myriad of restrictions, so I won't think you're going to be seeing him at any protests or doing any live shows or even being on social media at all. But he was lucky enough to get out, and I'm happy that he did. We just did an event for him last week in Red Deer to bring everybody up to speed and to get the awareness going. Up to now, his bank accounts were even still frozen by Chrystia Freeland, our deputy PM and our appointed Minister of Finance, who has absolutely no qualifications for either, by the way. And so he is finally out, which is a good thing. We can speak about Tamara for a second, because this is very interesting.
Get into that.
Everybody's like, oh my God, Tamara got arrested again. Okay. She did something that was so egregious that they really had no choice to arrest her. She was on conditions. Imagine we're on conditions and me and you are not supposed to talk. The only way we're supposed to have any contact is between our lawyers and only for the purpose of our court case. Now, me and you go to an award show together. Me and you sit at the same table together. We're seen talking to each other all night. And then we even go to the lengths of taking a selfie together and posting it on our social media. So what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to pretend like they never saw it, or you think they're going to arrest you? So why would somebody want to get arrested, or why would someone do something so egregious as to get themselves arrested? Well, little does everybody know that in June 29th of this year, somebody filed to have Tamara nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. And wouldn't you know it, after her second arrest, now that she's back in jail, that actually got signed by a European Parliament official yesterday and has officially been submitted to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. And they're even comparing her to Mother Teresa at this point. I swear to you, I can't make this shit up. So that can be a little light on that one. If I was offered a Nobel Peace Prize after someone like Obama winning it, starting virtually every war the U.S. is embroiled in, I would probably just say no. But
wow.
That's me. So that's what's going on there.
I didn't know that about her. So she's in jail right now. She's in prison.
She's in jail. She got rearrested. She breached her bail conditions. They came and got her in Alberta, and they transferred her over to Ottawa, and she's still in jail as we speak. But while she's in jail, she's actually getting nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize officially by the
Now,
European.
I got to tell you, I got to say, Chris, I got to ask you this. This seems suspect to me. The Nobel Peace Prize in general is suspect.
Yep.
But now that she's being nominated, it makes me wonder and ask a lot of questions. Why is she nominated? What's going on? Who's behind her? Who was behind this from day one? For those who don't know, this particular woman was one of the individuals who helped put this together, who was holding...
No, you know who she was? She was the individual that started the GoFundMe for the trucker convoy. That's who she is.
Specifically,
the individual who started the GoFundMe, where nobody knows where any of the money went, and... I never trusted her from day one. I want this out there. Sorry, Tamara. I'm going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to deal with her from day one to help the convoy, to try to make it so it would be peaceful, to try to make it so it would be a summer-long event where people would want to come, like, for the weekend, for vacation type thing. And she had all this money coming in. And she did everything she could to avoid me. I had her phone number. I had her email. I called. I texted. I emailed. She ignored. Other people called, texted, emailed. She ignored. When I was in Ottawa, people found out where she was, and I went there to meet her in person. She literally ran away from me when she saw me. So she did every single thing she could to avoid any type of contact with me whatsoever. The person who has been fighting the hardest, one of the hardest throughout this whole thing. So anybody who's like that with me, I'm already suspect of. Then the fact that she's getting nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Nobel Peace Prize is already suspect. Then the weirdest part was the people that were reporting on it is a site called Toronto 99. And that is a really far left, like Antifa style newspaper. And they do hit pieces on me all the time. They do hit pieces on the freedom movement, the trucker convoy. Meanwhile, why are they talking about Tamara getting a nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize? That was just very strange to me. And the fact that she got herself arrested. I was on the exact same conditions as her. I wasn't allowed to communicate with so many different people. Somehow I lasted almost 2 years without breaching my conditions. I definitely didn't go to an award show and take selfies with people that I wasn't supposed to see and then post it online, because we know they watch our stuff online. Like it's ridiculous. We know they do. Like I get phone calls from the police after I post things on Telegram. So I know that they watch our social media very, very, very closely. I got to talk about something else.
Yes, let's get into it.
In Canada, they just passed a law in Ontario that allows your child to choose its own gender identity and own gender pronouns as young as 4 years old. And here's the kicker. You do not need parental consent, nor do you need parental knowledge. Now, why is that important? Because for the last 2 years, our parents have been telling their kids, when their kids come home with this mask on their face and sick and tired of the social distancing measures, crying and saying how they hate school. What are the parents kept telling them, all the weak parents? Oh, you need to listen to your teachers. You need to follow the guidelines. You need to social distance. You need to wear your mask. Just do what your teacher says. That's what the parents would ultimately say. So now what do we have? We have this ridiculously new crop of teachers that are teaching critical race theory, gender identity theory. So now you got a teacher that's bringing their agenda into the classroom. And we have teachers that'll bring a book that's something like Jack really wants to be Jill into the classroom. And then that teacher will read that to the class. And it becomes like a fairy tale and fantasy story, like a Disney story for these children. And they truly believe that now if they were a boy named Jack, they can become Jill because the book told them to. Now, you know, all know kids, they want to play games. They want to play roles. So imagine out of 50 kids, three of the kids finally says, hey, you know what? Maybe I want to be a girl tomorrow. The teacher will say, okay, I'll start calling you Jill tomorrow and we'll start calling you she and her. Is that okay with you? What do you think the kid's going to say? Okay. And now every time your kid goes to school, they're going to be calling your kid Jack, Jill, and him, her, and you're not even going to know about it. And then when you do find out about it 2 months later and your kid's already so confused, it doesn't know what's going on, your four-year-old child, if you try to change their gender identity back to what it was, you can be charged with a crime because now you're going against your child's personal best interest. They have now made it so your four-year-old child can overrule your parental advice and parental consent in Canada. And why is that scary? If you look at the head of our public health, you'll see a person named Teresa Tam. Does everybody know who that is?
No, please let everybody know, because a lot of people are American, so they don't know who she is.
And I'm going to tie it into America, so this is very important. This is why you got to pay attention. Teresa Tam is the head of public health in Canada. She apparently went to all these different schools, Nottingham University in UK, then it's the University of Alberta, et cetera. If you look at her, it's obvious it's a transgender person. She has an Adam's apple. And if you look at her hands, the characteristic of a male hand, if you can see my hand right there, your ring finger, where my wedding ring is, the longer your ring finger on a person means the more testosterone you were exposed to in the womb. So if you look at the average male hand, you will see a distinct difference between the ring finger and the index finger. Most women have the exact same size. Men will have a longer ring finger. Teresa Tan has that longer ring finger. If you look at her official biography, her official bio, and look for her birthday, it simply says 1965 Hong Kong. So all we know is that it's a Chinese citizen. No birthday, which could only mean two things. It was an orphan and they didn't know her actual birthday, or she was born a different person and she transitioned. Now, obviously by looking at her and everything else, you can already tell. The hands, the Adam's apple, the voice, etc. If you go to Nottingham University's own university webpage, they have a special page for famous alumni. Click on the page. Every single person on there is a famous person that went to that school and graduated. It will show their picture now, their picture at the school, and the year of their graduation. When you find Teresa Tam there, there's no picture of her at the school, no year of her graduation. There's just a picture of her now and a video that was put there in 2020 of her currently talking about her experience at the university. So this person, if their name is not even Teresa Tam, and there isn't, because you could check all the schools she apparently went to, and there's no pictures, and there's no transcripts, and there's no graduation dates, that puts into question her credentials, and that puts into question everything else, and that puts into question this whole agenda where they're now trying to use the trans and the gender identity on our children. Now, how does this tie into the United States? They're doing the exact same thing to you guys. The only difference is the person that they made a transgender, now public health official, is now called Rachel Levine. He used to be a dude. He admits he used to be a dude. He's also a general in the army. So they appointed him now as the head of Pennsylvania Public Health. And guess what? Now they're pushing gender identity in the schools. They're pushing critical race theory in the schools. They're pushing the idea that men can get pregnant in your schools. They're putting tampon machines in the boys' bathroom because they're telling your children that boys can get pregnant. In fact, when a senator questioned a University of Berkeley professor, a female, a person of color, if first of all, he asked her, do unborn babies have value? And she refused to answer the question. She said, I'm going to answer an even more special question. Do their mothers have value? Yes, they do. But she would not answer if the unborn babies have value because she was trying to say that the abortion matters. But if she said unborn babies have value, she wouldn't be able to make her case. And if she said unborn babies have no value, she would look like a psychopath. So what do these people do when they can't win the argument? They call you names. She called him transphobic. Transphobic. And said that he was inciting violence against the trans community for asking her if she believed only women could get pregnant. This is where we've come to in our country. And we are now at something like 74 different gender identities, and they have the most ridiculous names and descriptions, like my gender changes depending on who I'm around, or my gender changes depending on my mood. No, it doesn't. That's ridiculous. And we're not going to pretend like it does just to make you feel better. Sorry. Now, moving on, we have something very scary. Ontario and Quebec are going to be the first two provinces in Canada that get the mask mandates back. In the United States, it's going to be California. California, LA County is already doing it end of the month. But July 29th, look at me in the eyes, everybody. July 29th, you're going to see mask mandates come back in LA County, and then it's going to spread all around the rest of California and all the rest of the lefty states like New York and the rest of them. That's coming. Same thing's going to happen in Ontario and Quebec. Ontario is in a really rough position. Our head of public health was Eileen Davila. She had to resign because people like me were going to take her to court, and she wasn't going to be able to handle all the lawsuits and subpoenas against her, especially when her husband had ties to the pharmaceutical companies and actually got arrested for it. Nobody knows this, but it's the truth. So she had to resign. And what are you seeing? You're seeing people all around the world resigning. Boris Johnson had to resign. Mario Draghi, the Prime Minister of Italy, had to resign. The Prime Minister of Estonia had to resign. And more are going to drop like flies. But who the hell did they replace the head of public health with in Ontario? Just to show you how much power, control, and corruption there is between the pharmaceutical industry and our government. Check this out. Dr. Kieran Moore is now the head of public health in Ontario. He is one of the fiercest advocates for masks and especially vaccine mandates and vaccine passports. Where did he come from? He was appointed head of the Lyme Disease Research Institute, a newly created institution in 2018, created from a $4 million five-year grant from Pfizer through public health. And so he is currently getting $800,000 a year from Pfizer from 2018 to 2023 to run this Lyme Disease Research Institute. While he's the head of that, and that puts him in a position to approve any Lyme disease vaccines, hint, hint, we're getting to that, he is now the head of Ontario Public Health advocating for vaccine mandates so his employers, Pfizer, who pay him $800,000 a year, can make a windfall of profits. If that wasn't bad enough, right after Pfizer created the Lyme Disease Research Institute in Canada and paid this guy to run it, they acquired the only Lyme disease vaccine in development. They paid $120 million for it. It was about to go through phase one clinical trials. This was way back in 2020. Fast forward to 2022. It is now in phase three clinical trials. Once it passes those trials, guess who gets to approve it for use? Dr. Kieran Moore, their $4 million boy. Now, once that's approved for use, they've already talking about doing a multi-million dollar injection campaign around the world for Lyme disease prevention, because they are going to tell you, and remember I said this, that ticks are now biting humans. Ticks are now biting humans, so we're going to have a new Lyme disease vaccine approved, and we're going to give it out as a preventative. They're also about to expand the monkeypox exponentially. They've already inoculated tens of thousands of people in Canada and the United States, but they are planning on inoculating tens of millions in the United States. How are they going to do that? By the end of the month, they're going to expand testing. They already started. They're already doing almost 100,000 tests a week. So what do you think is going to happen when they increase that to 10 million tests a week? Cases are going to increase exponentially. They're going to be able to say, oh my goodness, we now have children getting it. It's not just men who have sex with men. It's now transmittable to other aspects of the community. So now it meets the criteria for a public health threat on the scales of COVID. So when they reconvene, what they are doing in 3 days, they're probably going to say monkeypox is a rising global health threat, but it's not yet a global public health concern. Give it a couple more weeks and they're going to revert on that position right after they start installing the mask mandates. While they install the mask mandates, the excuse is going to be that the new BA5 Deltacron variant is what they're calling it, Deltacron, or the Ninja variant, because it gets around the vaccine. So their excuse is going to be, because this variant can get around the vaccine, the only way we can protect you now is if you wear the mask. And now you got to wear the mask until the new vaccines come out. And they bring out, like I told you, the new vaccine that they say you could take no matter what other one you took. They're going to tell you it works on the variants. And I told you they're going to only have to take it once a year. Remember I said that months ago? Now they tell you, no, you're going to have to take it every 9 months. So sorry, guys, I was wrong. It's even worse than I thought. So that's exactly what's going on. And why are they doing this? They know you're not afraid anymore. They know you're not afraid of COVID. You know you're not afraid of even the government, because now everybody that's got fired for not taking the jab is getting their job back. They're getting arbitration. They're getting back pay. All the police got rehired in Ontario, which I would love to say I had something to do with. So I'm very happy about all that. So what do they have to do? They need to get you scared again. So how are they going to do that? They're going to bombard you with so many things that you are going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be confused. And once again, you're going to start doing what they say. And what are they going to tell you to do? They're going to try to take you to get another COVID shot, a flu shot, a monkeypox jab, and possibly even a Lyme disease jab in the next while. Why do they want you to take all these jabs? Not just because they're going to get you sick and make you die, but then it makes it so much harder to prove that a COVID jab was responsible, or that jab was responsible, or any jab was responsible. So now, because they know there's millions and millions of adverse reactions, because they know that the vast majority of people in hospitals and dying and getting sick are jabbed, what are they going to do? They're going to muddy the waters as much as possible by injecting you with so many goddamn vaccines that when you drop dead, they're going to have no clue as to what, and there's going to be no way to hold anyone accountable. That is their new plan. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. And
I gotta say right now, Chris, you nailed it on the money. They're gonna get you to take so many to protect themselves from lawsuits and institutions going after them, because they are losing lawsuits in court right now. Tons and tons. So what you're saying makes absolute sense. Not only do they want to kill you quickly and get you off this planet, but they also want to muddy the waters, like you said, so that there's no way for you to track where those adverse effects came from and which vax it was. Incredible.
And now I got something even a bigger bombshell. And this is going to be the nail in the coffin for them. They think it's going to be the nail in the coffin for us. But in reality, the next thing I'm going to talk about, because it doesn't matter if you believe anything I've told you. It doesn't matter if you agree with anything I told you. You might want to wear 10 masks. You might want to get jabbed every 3 months for the rest of your life. But the next thing I tell you is going to affect every single man, woman, and child on this planet in a very negative way. And nobody is going to be able to disagree with it. And all you got to do is look at what's happening in the Netherlands right now. Does everyone know what's going on in the Netherlands? There's a massive protest between the farmers, ranchers, and the whole agricultural industry. Why? Very simple. Under the guise of climate change, like I told you they would do, they create these arbitrary targets for emissions, and they use that to impose regulations on industries to cripple them and destroy them. In particular, in this case, they just signed a whole new climate treaty in the Netherlands that calls for a reduction of ammonia and nitrogen emissions between now and 2030. Of course, 2030, because that's Agenda 2030. So all this stuff happens by Agenda 2030. What will that do to the industry? They are not even denying it. They are calling for a minimum of 30% reduction in the cattle and agriculture sector. That's literally a one-third reduction in the food supply. Not only will that be catastrophic for the food industry in the Netherlands is the number one food exporter in all of Europe. The Netherlands sends food to every single country in Europe. So when you do this, it's going to reverberate all around. And everybody, you don't have to be anti-mask or anti-vax or pro-mask or pro-vax to understand that if they eliminate 30% of the food supply, and you still have the same number of people and even a growing population, what's going to happen? You're going to have massive rise in prices. You're going to have massive food shortages. And they're already telling you that you're going to have massive food shortages. Why? Because they're creating them. In Canada, they're about to pass the exact, well, they already did pass the same law, but they're about to announce it. And after they announce it here, surprise, surprise, Joe Biden is going to announce it in the United States. The overall goal here is a full out 50% reduction in our agricultural and farming industries. In Canada, that means over $1 billion a year lost to our farmers. In your country, it's tens of billions of dollars a year. And for the average person, it means skyrocketing prices. It means you're never going to eat meat again. I just came from the grocery store. You know what a beef tenderloin costs in Leduc, Alberta? And this is like a place where all the beef is created in Canada. $80 a kilogram for a tiny little thing like this. It's like $45, $50 to bring home to cook that steak. Once this goes through, that price is going to be something like $200 to $300. So you know when you and your family are going to eat steak or beef? Answer, never. And how are they planning for that? What did they just open in Ontario, Canada? Do you know?
They opened up a bug farm, if I'm correct.
That's right. Not just a bug farm, a federally subsidized with our tax dollars, the largest cricket farm for human consumption in the world. And guess who owns this wonderful bug factory?
Bill Gates.
You are correct, sir. So not only are they shutting down our farms, not only are they shutting down our agriculture, then they're using climate change to do it. Now they are literally putting in the infrastructure to create all the same products you eat, hot dogs, salami, bologna. They're still going to say all beef on them. And then when you look at the fine print, it's going to say beef sourced from cricket, because you commoners, you will own nothing, you will eat bugs, and you will be happy. Well, the World Economic Forum is dining on those little steaks that cost $400 a piece because they don't give a shit. $400 to them is 4 cents. But to you guys, you're never eating meat again. They want you to eat crickets, they want you to eat maggots, and they want you to suffer. And that's what's coming. And people are going to see it. People in the Netherlands see it. People in Canada are seeing it. In fact, the worldwide rally is July 23rd, and it's a worldwide rally now to support the farmers and ranchers, not only in the Netherlands, but all around the world. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. By Wednesday of next week, there is going to be an official global movement started to try to preserve our food supply, to try and feed the world, if you will. And it's going to proliferate throughout the alternative media like wildfire. And it's going to proliferate because I'm going to do shows on every single continent within the next 2 weeks. And by then, the mainstream media is going to have to acknowledge it. And when they do, the entire world is going to be aware that the government literally plans to take the food right off of your table and make it so you will never be able to afford to eat the way you've been eating for generations. And every single person on planet Earth, I don't care how far right you are, I don't care how far left you are, everybody needs to eat.
And Chris, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true. I want to add another layer to the onion that you expose to everybody. I talked about this earlier because I got some intel on it. Another reason for this situation in the Netherlands with the farmers. I want you guys to understand that these are family-owned farms. They're heritage farms. It's been in their bloodline with their relatives for many generations. And the fastest way, listen carefully now, for the government to obtain that land without paying for it is to destroy that economy, and they're going to pick it up for pennies on the dollar. They want the land, they want the property, so you cannot grow your own food, so you cannot depend on farmers. They know exactly what they're doing, folks. This is all by design, exactly what Chris said earlier, Agenda 2030. Chris, this is absolutely insane. And I got to ask you one more thing about this specifically. Sure. What do you think that the people need to do? Because the information's out there. So we need to go up against these criminals now that we know it. We need to fight them on every aspect of it. But how do we do that? What's your suggestion?
Well, you saw Sri Lanka. They stood up in united noncompliance, and the friggin' dictator was forced to flee the palace. The same thing's going to happen to Trudeau here and all the bigger public health officials. If they thought the Freedom Convoy was big and bad with a couple million truckers and tradesmen, what do you think is going to happen with all the farmers, all the ranchers, all the truckers, all the tradesmen, all the freedom fighters, and every other person around the world who wants to feed their family stands up and says, go fuck yourself. Sorry.
No, you're very passionate. I understand, and my audience understands that you're speaking with passion, but I agree with you. I think everyone needs to rise up, stand up, and deny what they're trying to do.
Before I forget, that brings me to the Marcus Ray situation.
Yes.
Before I forget, we need to talk about that. Because after I exposed him, and by exposing him was literally putting his own video of him speaking, talking about his plan to get 5,000 men, put them in uniform, give them riot shields, and have them surround a government courthouse and demand the government hold court against itself, literally the definition of terrorism, he's been trying to backtrack on that. I got intel from a friend of mine from the Canadian intelligence community that stated, this was on June 27th, and I sent text messages to a lot of people just so I can verify it after. And they all told me on June 28th, Marcus Ray was going to get picked up by Canadian intelligence services for questioning. How would they know about it in advance if he wasn't part of everything? Yeah. First of all. Second of all, I said, no, that's way too specific. That's never gonna happen. But I did send the text message out to a few different groups just to see. Sure enough, on June 28th, Marcus Ray went in for questioning. And he came out a few hours later, and he told all his followers that he is so sure that the police are on our side that he is now sharing 100% of his intel and information with the police. That's how friggin' ridiculous it is. If that wasn't bad enough, there's a gentleman by the name of Clayton Fast. I had never even heard of this guy up until yesterday. Apparently, he's one of Marcus Ray's partners. So how did I hear about this guy? A good friend of mine, he said I could use his name. His name is Jordan. He's from Calgary. He was in Vancouver Island when Marcus Ray and Clayton were there trying to recruit people for their plan. And he told me unequivocally, and he only told me about it now because he just saw the video I made with Marcus Ray, and that's what got him triggered to call me and tell me. He said back then, Clayton told him in no uncertain words, oh, this protesting and stuff is okay, but if you want, we got something a little more serious going on. And this is from Jordan to me, and I'm going to do a live with this man because he also has a recording from Clayton Fast after the fact that helps substantiate some of these claims. And these are not my claims. These are his claims. And I'm going to acknowledge that these are claims. This is not on a record. This is not recorded. But this is what I was told he was said. And he was told that Clayton told him that they were planning to cause a civil war, and even told him that it was being funded in part by Pierre Poilievre of the Conservative Party, who was going to supply funding, weapons, ammunition, intel, etc., like locations of public officials so they could get to them, etc. This is what I was told. And he said he came to me with this information after he saw that video, because at first he thought the guy was just talking smack. But after he saw the video where Marcus talked about the 5,000 guys in uniforms surrounding a courthouse, he thought it would be a good idea to message me about it. And he messaged me about it after he called Clayton back and recorded their entire conversation. And I have it. It's an 8-minute and 30-second conversation. And I might post it, because it when you listen to Clayton on that call, you can see him get very, very flustered. And you can tell he's trying to hide something. And you can tell he's a little bit nervous. So that's what I got to say about that. So if anybody is talking to Marcus Ray, he says he wants to be part of this new movement about the feeding and all that, which is great. If that's the case, everybody should be on board. I would not ostracize anybody. But if anybody tries to radicalize you, anybody tries to get you involved with anything that could be construed as violent or aggressive, just say no.
And I want to just touch on that, backtrack quickly so everyone is understanding that what he's referring to are a particular gentleman and his partner that are looking to create their own type of January 6th insurrection. We believe it's pre-planned. We believe it's to demonize and go after the patriots in Canada and freedom fighters. So they're using this as this type of thing, which more laws will be passed to take away our freedoms for protest. This is all predetermined. So I'm warning everybody in Canada to look out specifically for these two gentlemen who are trying to plan a January 6th American style attack on Canadian government buildings. Do not be a part of it. I repeat, do not participate in any violence whatsoever. You don't have to be violent. There is no way to do that. It's unnecessary. So I am warning everybody against that. No violence whatsoever. Don't participate. Do nothing to do with it, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, stay as far away from any type of thing like that. I highly recommend that. Chris, one last thing I got to touch on. Traveling in Canada. Now, it looks like the government is being attacked. There's a lot going on with companies that are standing up with the people because they're losing billions in travel, entertainment, and tourism this summer. They're still, you know, end of July and all of August.
They're doing it on purpose, George.
Talk to us. What's going on?
Okay, if you look around Canada, by far, the Toronto airport is the worst. The Toronto airport is like it's never been before. Why are they doing it that at the Toronto airport? They want to make it as horrible as possible for you to travel because, number one, they don't want you traveling. They want you isolated and they want you here. But for those that do want to travel, they want to make it so bad that you will pretty much do anything to streamline that process. So why are they making it at the Toronto airport? Toronto airport is the airport where the government of Canada, the government of the Netherlands, Air Canada, KLM Airlines, which is the Netherlands Airlines, and the World Economic Forum have partnered to try out their biometric facial recognition and their digital ID. So they're getting ready to do that for October. So they want to make travel so gummed up, so distorted that people will be like, I don't care, scan my face, take my fingerprints, just let me on the plane a lot faster. And that way they can launch their digital ID biometric program for international travel and they can start getting people to use it because that's what they're going to do. They're going to bank on people not wanting to wait 3 hours, not wanting to miss their flight over and over and over again, and simply submitting to the facial recognition, the fingerprint, and then also the digital ID, which is basically a digital footprint of your entire life. That's what they're trying to do. And it's an official pilot program. It's just to show you how literally fascist our government is. It is literally a public-private partnership between our government, private airline corporations, and then shady non-government organizations that are in place to control our governments and ultimately control us. Like, if you didn't have, it's literally the definition, textbook definition of fascism in plain sight. And that's why we're having all these problems at the airport. The other reasons you're having these problems at the secondary airports where they're not trying this pilot program out is because they have a shortage of staff. Why do they have a shortage of staff? Because many people are still laid off because they were jabbed. And what about all the ones that did get jabbed? Many can't come to work because they're sick from the jab. So what they're not telling you is that they're short-staffed about 15% from the people that they fired. And then they're short-staffed again about 15% from all the people that are sick from COVID. So in reality, they're short-staffed by 30%. When we're at the time where people are trying to travel more than ever, because not only were they not able to for 2 years, the smart people realize that within a few months, all the restrictions are going to be back.
This is breaking news, by the way. So guys, I need you to spread this information far and wide when we send out this link, because what we just heard is unbelievable. They are planning this this conglomerate between these other governments and private companies as a test pilot in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Facial recognition, I believe, Chris, you said October was the due date they were looking to implement this?
That's when they're trying to start it, but it's going to be sometime this year. That's just a vague date. They're already preparing for it. They already have the infrastructure in place. They already tested the facial recognition technology years ago at the Pearson Airport. It's already there. All the technology is already there. They're just getting ready to put it on. They're getting ready to launch it publicly and on a broad scale. Because up until now, they were just scanning random people.
I got to say, Chris, out of all this, I mean, we have problems all over the world, but specifically, I mean specifically, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I got to ask your opinion. Why is it such a hell? Why is it so disgusting and mind-blowingly political in the city of Toronto, Ontario? What is going on in Toronto, Ontario, Canada?
Because for their agenda, Ontario is the most important province in Canada. It's the most populous. It's got almost half the population of the entire country in that one province of 11 provinces. And it's got all the money. It's got all these mega cities stuck together, and it's bordering the United States in Buffalo, New York, which is New York is another prize for the NWO. So those two areas are like prime targets. That's why the restrictions in Toronto mirror the restrictions in New York. It's not an accident. Those are the places that they're after more than ever. It's just in the States, the most populous places like California and New York are falling to those prey. The only reason the other populous places like Texas and Florida aren't is because you have a unique population of actual American citizens and freedom fighters there, and great governors. Otherwise, they would be falling prey like the rest of us. But that's why you're seeing it happen in Ontario. And Canadians have taken note. If you look at international immigration into Canada, the majority by far go into Ontario, followed by BC, but by far into Ontario. If you look at immigration within Canada, Canadians are leaving Ontario in droves for other parts of Canada. That's what you'll see. So Toronto is being replaced with third worlders and other people that don't respect our rights. They don't even know what a Charter of Rights and Freedoms is. They have to be jabbed and stuff to come here. So they're literally replacing the normal Canadian citizens that have generations of livelihood there with these brand new international citizens that aren't even Canadians. So that's why Toronto has absolutely no identity. That's why Toronto has no cohesive protest movement. That's why Toronto has so much controlled opposition and infighting. And that's why Toronto was so easy to co-opt and take control of. The only province that's worse off than Ontario restriction-wise is Quebec. And that's for the reason, that's for a different reason. That's because the vast majority of them only speak French. So they are only allowed, they only get their media and France from Europe media, which is just as bad. Yeah. They don't get the rest of Canada's English media. They don't get the US media. They don't get the UK or the rest of the international media. So it's very easy to control them. And Quebec is like its own country. So they have a very big interest in getting them there. And also because they're very, they're more European than the rest of Canada. As you can see, they are going along with the restrictions even more than the Canadians are. Quebec had the worst restrictions out of any province. They even had the vaccine passport system in play in a Walmart to the point where you had to walk in at one point, stand in a jail cell if you were unvaccinated, and wait for somebody to come and escort you to the food section only because you weren't even allowed in the other parts of the store. That's how bad it was in Quebec. And they just got rid of their mask mandate in May. And they're already talking about bringing it back. Quebec and Ontario will be the first to bring it back in Canada. California will be the first, and New York probably the second in the United States. But the mask mandates are coming back. They have no choice but to bring them back because they can't bring back all the other restrictions until they bring the mask first. And they're going to use the mask not only to kickstart all the other restrictions, they're going to use the mask to try to get you to take the booster.
It's so sad to hear these things. I think you're on the money when it comes to that. The only thing I could say, Chris, and I know this sounds, you know, wild to some, you know, just regular people, but now's the time to start praying that God intercedes and puts a stop to that. There are a lot of unbelievable things happening that the government or the media is not talking about. So that is happening. And I'll tell you, Chris, I mentioned to you before, I do see the downfall of Justin Trudeau within months. That's a fact. I've been told he is going down within months. The question is, who does he get replaced with?
That's the problem. What they're trying to do right now around the world is they're just trying to do a changing of the guard. A resignation is not being held accountable. A resignation means you took your millions and millions of dollars of payouts and you just retired with your golden parachute. That's not being held accountable. Being held accountable is a resignation followed up with charges, followed up with fines and jail time, etc. Not, I just took the millions and millions of dollars and now I'm going to go hide out anywhere I want in the world and enjoy the rest of my life.
And that's the problem, Chris. They are actually doing that. They're not stupid. They are hiding. Ladies and gentlemen, they are hiding. They are doing what they can because people are chasing them. They want them. They want them. Some people do want them accountable. This is biblical. This is like Revelations. They are now not holding back. We talked about transhumanism. We talked about taking away your food for starvation, recession. We talk about facial recognition. I mean, these are
recession. You have to mention recession. Sorry, yes. I want everybody to know this.
Please.
2020, I warned everybody that you're going to see 30% inflation in 2022. And people said I was batshit crazy. Now, where are we? Things like gas, things like energy, et cetera, are even higher in inflation. So not only was I on the money, I underestimated once again. Now I'm warning everybody that they're setting you up because they know that this is coming. They're setting you up for all these restrictions and lockdowns for the winter because we're going to enter a recession either in the fourth quarter of this year or the first quarter of 2023. And in Canada, it's going to probably be a five quarter or an entire year plus recession or contractions or stagnant growth for five straight quarters. And in the United States, I'm predicting just a slightly less because you guys have a bit more of a robust economy. But you can expect not only rampant inflation, but also a full year of recession. Meanwhile, I'm sure they're still going to send billions and billions of dollars to places like Ukraine.
Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable. If you haven't prayed, now's the time to pray because we are in very delicate times, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, it is a pleasure and honor to have you here. I appreciate you coming on every month with an update. This was a blockbuster. You dropped some big bombs on us. Just remind everybody where they could follow you and support you.
No problem. I'm on Telegram, Real Chris Sky, all capitals, the one that's almost 70,000 followers because there's a million fakes. I'm completely shadow banned on Instagram. You can't mention me, can't tag me, can only find me if you type out every single letter. But I'm still on there, so I still get the message on. You can still share my videos if you save them and reshare them or put them on TikTok at theonlychrissky.com. I'm going to be in Calgary on July 20th for an event. I'm going to be in Vancouver on the 22nd, speaking outside the College of Physicians and Nurses. I'm going to be in Vancouver on the 23rd for the worldwide rally to support the farming. And then I'm having a massive birthday party in Calgary on Saturday, August 6th. We have international DJs. We have a massive venue that's normally reserved for really posh weddings. And we're going to have an all-night party with a capacity of like up to 600 plus people.
Wow.
And we have people coming in from all over the world for that. It's going to be amazing. I want everybody to enjoy their summer.
I got to ask you one thing. Are you going to be requiring vax passports? masks, and tests to attend your birthday.
Oh, 100%. You're not even allowed on the grounds unless you're triple vaccinated, triple masked. No, obviously, we want to bring everybody together. The theme of this party is going to be freedom, and it's going to be to support the movement to feed Canada and feed everybody around the world. Because already the restrictions have killed. They say COVID killed 6 million people. In reality, most of those had nothing to do with COVID. Probably 12% of those deaths were actually COVID. So in reality, COVID probably killed around 1 million people around the world. How many people you think died from the restrictions, from losing their jobs, from starvation, from all the other problems like suicide, depression, etc.? The answer, tens of millions, if not more, around the world, exponentially more. So we got to put a stop to that, and we got to put a stop to that now. Because if we go through a third round of the same bullshit, it's basically, they got us, and they're just going to keep it that way. But I believe we are at that turning point. I was at the Calgary Stampede, thousands and thousands of people. I couldn't walk more than 5 steps without somebody coming up to me and thanking me and talking about the freedom movement. And these are just normal, everyday people. And I had hundreds and hundreds of people come up to me within a few hours of me just standing there. And that let me know that Alberta is, and these people, some of them were jabbed, some of them wore masks during the time, but they all had one thing in common. They were all ready to say no to another round of restrictions. And I think everybody is finally at that point. And that's what we need. And now, now with the food crisis, we can finally unite everybody together for something that's bigger than all of us put together. Because if we can't feed ourselves, if we can't feed our children, how do we expect to feed future generations?
1,000%. Chris, the three most popular words that you've been talking from day one, I'm going to repeat them. United, non-compliance.
Thank you, brother. Chris, I love you.
Thank you. I love you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you all.